Hey, 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 and welcome to this latest episode of Burnoutology. Today, we are going to talk about Burnout Barbie. That's where we're going to talk about today. Right, today is Burnout Barbie. And I want to talk to you a little bit about what this means. Now, I've got some notes for you, and I'm going to share something really exciting with you, or at least I think it's exciting. But Burnout Barbie, what we're going to talk about today, or I'm going to give you a bit of an example of somebody that I have worked with, and potentially also kind of mirrors a bit of where I was, kind of burnout number one, not so much two, but definitely kind of burnout number one. And Burnout Barbie, right? What this really means, it's the high functioning woman. Now, I'm using woman in this one. 80 something percent of my clients are still women. If the gender terms do not work for you, replace it with whatever does, right? But today is Burnout Barbie. And what this really means, right? It's the high functioning woman with the perfect branding, but the dead eyes. It's the woman who smiles and posts all over social media and makes out that everything is amazing, right? She's delivering. And at the same time, she is dissociating completely from everything. And we spot this, right? How we spot this is through empowerment content. It's through the flat tone. It's the numbness masked as professionalism. She looks successful, but feels nothing. And this matters because Burnout Barbie doesn't crash. She just very, very slowly disappears. And if you are applauding her drive, then you're missing her collapse. That's what we're going to talk about today. Burnout Barbie. The exciting part of this before we get into the whole lot. I was earlier this week creating the Burnout Aware Starter Kit. I suppose it's a bit of a website freebie, right? But I didn't want to. I'm always kind of looking, right? Firstly, I want to be able to build my mailing list, right? There is a business strategy behind this. So actually, how can I get more people to kind of find out about what I'm doing? But I don't like, here's my freebie just for the sake of my freebie. So I have been behind the scenes for quite a few weeks now, creating a burnout glossary, right? A burnout glossary, and it's 200 truths that a lot of us miss, right? Terms like burnout Barbie, right? How is this? Like, what's the truth that sits behind this? What does this look like? What does this feel like? And I sat finishing this 200 truths the other day. So in the Burnout Aware Starter Kit, the 200 truths are accompanied by a really kind of just short video, right? Three things, three, I suppose, kind of, common coaching mistakes that we see in, or questions that we use, coaching techniques that we use that are actually not helpful when burnout is in the room. So I'm sat creating all of that. And I was just doing a final check of these 200 truths. And I was like, oh my gosh, these are things that I could be talking about in Burnoutology, right? These are the weekly podcast topics. These are the things that we can bring to life a little bit more and we can talk about it. And I also went, they can be weekly lives and they can be blogs and they can be whatever. So there may be other stuff that comes with it. But I suppose in true Kelly fashion, having now launched Burnoutology and said it's going to be something different, and almost like deciding on my format, right? We've done two episodes so far, and deciding on my format, and this is what I'm going to go. And I had a list of things that I wanted to talk to you about, and it was like, oh my God, we can do the 200 truths. So I can't guarantee that we're going to do all 200 in Burnoutology, the podcast, right? We might have varying different seasons, but if we do, if I do, stick with it. For 200 truths, we've got at least 200 episodes of Burnoutology to come, right? That's 4 years worth of podcasting that I could bring to you. Now, I might be bored by them. By then, I don't know about you, but it just, as I was kind of reviewing it, I was like, oh, like this is where we need to take it. So this is what we're going to be doing. And the first truth, the first thing that we're going to be taking from the glossary term for this week is this burnout Barbie. So that's what I'm going to talk to you about today. I'm going to be keeping an eye on the time, she says, and I've already got no idea how long we've been going for. So I don't know how long today's episode is. Right, this is Kelly. This is podcasting with Kelly in the greatest possible sense, right? But hello. If you're new, welcome. If you are returning, welcome. It's always great to have you here. As I said, we're two episodes in now to this new structure, new format, and I'm already changing it again. I'm like, no, we're now going to do something completely different. I know many of you waited for this podcast for a very, very long time, having been with me throughout the series of Frazzled, or the two series that we did of Frazzled for a very, very long time. I know some of you are, long-term listeners. I am going to say, like, long-term fans of the podcast and of the stuff that I do. So thank you very much. And I know also that some of you will be very new to me and to my work. So really quick intro from me. I am Kelly Swingler. I'm the burnoutologist. My first burnout made me really seriously ill, and my second nearly killed me. For more than a decade now, I have been studying, training, learning, researching, working with burnout. And I genuinely believe that when we know better, we do better. And so I'm on this mission, I suppose, right, to end burnout. And I know that burnout can be prevented. And I also know that we can only really prevent it when we understand more about what burnout is. So I suppose I'm on this mission, right, to end, I can't get my words out today, can I? But to end burnout through awareness. Right, as I said, when we know better, we do better. And so many of us are misunderstanding burnout. We're talking about it. There's so much misinformation out there. We see the gurus and the experts at least 3 times a year, right? We're coming up to the summer at the point that I'm kind of recording this and launching this. There will be articles in, like, Forbes and HBR and all sorts of places, right, from coaches that don't understand burnout at all, but they'll have seen an article. They'll have thought, oh, lots of my clients are, getting a bit exhausted. It's coming up to holiday season, so I'm going to do an article about burnout. And all they're really talking about is time management techniques. That's not burnout. Time management techniques are not going to help you. I'm also starting to see a lot of my content repurposed in some of these blogs from some of these expert and guru coaches out there. But 3 times a year, right? Summer, in the lead up to Christmas, and then the start of every year, seemingly every coach on the planet is a burnout expert, and they're just not. So I suppose, what I do through my YouTube channel, my LinkedIn posts, my blogs, this podcast, all of the work that I do in the Burnout Academy is really calling BS on a lot of this stuff that we see out there, highlighting where the misinformation is, talking about what we need to be doing to understand more about burnout, understand the severity of burnout, challenge things like the World Health Organization definition, and just really, really make a change. And so, yeah, we're going to start with this one. I'm also going to say, because this is the exciting bit that I've already missed, right? Some mornings I should just not be allowed in front of this camera. But to these 200 truths, if you would like to get your hands on the Burnout Aware Starter Kit, head to kellyswinkler.com. On the homepage, you'll find the link that says your Burnout Aware Starter Kit. But that wasn't the exciting bit that I wanted to share with you. What I have done, for those of you that love listening to this every week, and I get messages from you that, like, I had this aha moment. I've done this. I've made loads of notes. I've kind of done whatever. I have created you. This is exciting, but I can't believe I missed it. I have created you a podcast companion that you can download. So if you go to kellyswingler.com/podcast, where you will find Burnoutology, the podcast, you'll find the episodes every single week. They'll just be on the website. You'll also find, at the moment, I think it is just Apple and YouTube that I've got the links on for there. I'm still waiting for Spotify, and I'm waiting for a few other platforms as well for this to go live on. So you'll find all of that. But underneath the episodes, there is a link, and you can download the podcast companion. So it's going to give you all 200 truths. So it's a big document, but you're going to get all 200 truths. And underneath each truth, this is where it's different from the one in the Burnout Aware Starter Kit. The Burnout Aware Starter Kit, I can show you, it's literally just, like, them all listed. It does look better than that, I promise. But when you go into the podcast companion, it's got the truth at the top of the page and then notes section underneath. So you can literally, all of your show notes, all of your aha moments, all of your realizations, maybe the stuff you want to challenge me on and say disagree with that, maybe the stuff that it's brought up for you, maybe there's questions that you have, maybe there is aha moments, maybe there's learning, but you can get the podcast companion, kellyswingler.com/podcast. You can get your podcast companion. And then you'll be also be able to see what it is that we're going to be talking about the week after. For as long as I decide that we're going to be talking about the 200 truths as part of this podcast, and who knows how long that will be. I might be bored in 3 weeks and go, I've got another brilliant idea. This is what we're going to do instead. For now, this is what we're sticking with. Burnout Barbie, let's get into it. Let's get into it. Okay, so as I said, right? High functioning woman, perfect branding, dead smile. She smiles, dead eyes rather, smiles, posts delivered, but is dissociating. Got a LinkedIn Live. I'll try and get this onto YouTube as well, but I've got a session about dissociating. I've also got in the Burnout Academy alumni, the monthly masterclass that I do for all of the alumni that have trained with me in the academy. We've also got like burnout and autopilot, right? All of that is about dissociation. That's going to be live in the Alumni Hub on the 21st of July. So Burnout Barbie, as I said, how do we spot it, right? It's endless empowerment content. And we all know what that looks like, right? It's the, you know, I thought I was, but you know, I thought I was broken, and then I realized that I just needed this one thing, right? Let's just knuckle down. Let's do this stuff. It might be the endless empowerment quotes. It might be the constant, like, you've got this, like, we can do this. Let's, you know, dig deep. Let's do all of this stuff, right? We see it repeatedly. And yet, there is also this numbness. And numbness as professionalism, right? Looks successful, feels nothing. I was there. Totally there. That's why I talk this about, you know, in terms of this dissociation. I was there. I've shared this with many of you, I think, before in Frazzled. And again, if you've kind of ever seen any of my talks, I, on paper, in the lead up to my first burnout, I genuinely looked like I had everything. I'd been working really, really hard, and over an 8 year period, I had seven different promotions. Over that 8 year period, I added over £100,000 to my salary. Right, I had the big house. I had the seven seater family car. I had the two seater sports car. I had the all inclusive holidays, the red soled shoes, the ridiculously expensive handbags. I had tailor made suits. I had all of the bling. I looked so put together at any point, right? There was not, I'm looking at myself on the camera. You can't see this, for those of you on the podcast, for those of you that are listening rather than watching it. But like, I can see I've got wispy hairs all over the place as I'm kind of looking at myself on screen. In the lead up to my first burnout, there would not have been one hair out of place. Like everything about my outfit, everything about my makeup, everything about my hair was so well put together. And, you know, a lot of that, it became my armor. Right. But if I looked perfect, nobody would know that I was crumbling. And at the time, I didn't even feel like I was crumbling. And this is the thing with burnout, right? We just feel that we've just got to keep going. We've got to keep driving. We've got to keep pushing. We've got to keep performing. People say to us or not, you just need to take a break. I'm like, no. And we think that this is all the price of this is the price we pay to get the job, right? This is the price that we pay. If we do start to feel a bit exhausted, if we do start to feel a bit withdrawn, if we do start to feel a bit numb, if we do start to feel a bit, you know, a bit kind of robot-like, we just assume that's the price for the job, right? I'd worked hard to get to where I was. I was a C-suite director at the age of 30. I'd worked really bloody hard to get to where I was. And I genuinely thought this was the price to pay for the six-figure salary. This was the price to pay for the status and the job title and that seat at the table. I assumed that this is what we all did, right? But it was worth it because you got paid all this money and you had the title and you were able to make change and you could, drive all this stuff, right? This was the cost of success. The work hard, play hard that we all get told would happen. Right? You work hard, you play hard, but you make it happen, right? Because it's all about the money, it's all about everything. And I'd said, again, some of you may be familiar with this, but I had very, very unexpectedly fallen pregnant with my twin sons at 20. So I was a mum of twins 3 months after my 20th birthday. And I remember lots of people at the time saying to me, "Well, you have to slow your career down now. You'll really have to take your foot off the pedal." I was like, "I don't think so." I almost like made this kind of silent promise, right, to my unborn sons whilst I was pregnant, that everything that they would have for their entire life, I would have earned. I would have provided every single thing that they needed. I was going to work hard, strive hard, push hard to give them absolutely everything. And I did that. And I sit here now, like my sons are going to be 25 this year. I'm going to be 45 this year. I'm going to be 45 this year. My sons are going to be 25 this year. And when I think about the last 12 years, right, that my first burnout really, really took hold of me in 2013. And I feel like robbed of 12 years of my life. At the time, I thought the pushing and the striving and everything was worth it. And then it was as I was recovering from that first period of burnout, right? I'd had two operations in 48 hours because of what was happening to my body. The physical impact of burnout really started to take hold of me in January 2013. I had 7 months of being rushed in and out of hospital constantly. I was passing out on escalators. I was passing out on the train. I was sometimes like not even being able to stand up straight in the kitchen. I'd be like humped, like literally hunched over, having to like hold myself on the worktop just to keep myself stable, to keep myself upright. Some days I couldn't carry my handbag. Some days I couldn't get dressed. Some days I couldn't get out of bed. And yet I never took any time off work. No time off work at all. And even on the times when I was being rushed into and admitted to hospital, I was still working from my hospital bed. And I look back at it now and just like, what the hell were you doing? Right? This was burnout Barbie, right? The high functioning woman, perfect branding, looked amazing, looked totally put together, but was totally dissociating. It was genuinely as though my brain was one side and my body was the other. And somehow I'd like managed to detach my brain and my body. I knew I was in a lot of pain. I knew that my body was quite literally shutting down. I knew that my body wasn't functioning. And yet I could still type on my laptop. I could still talk on the phone. I could still strategize. I could still lead projects. I could still lead my team. I could still do all of this stuff. And on the days that I did still commute, I had like an almost 2 hour commute each way to get me to the office. And I was still doing that when I wasn't in hospital. I didn't miss a day off in 7 months. And then I had these two operations in 48 hours. And I had one at like 2013. I don't know if any of you remember this. 2013, you could get like back-to-back daytime TV chat shows. Like, and they'd start, I don't know how early they'd start in the morning, but you could literally, from like the minute you woke up to the minute you went to bed, and probably even what, even whilst you were in bed asleep, there were back-to-back chat shows. Sometimes you might just need to chat, move the channel, right? I think lots of them used to be on like Sky One, but you'd get some on Channel 4, you'd get some like on all sorts of stuff. But you literally, if you knew kind of which channels to go, you could start off on like ITV, you could move over to Sky One, you could watch some stuff on something, like literally back-to-back chat shows. And I had these two operations in 48 hours, and I almost like gave myself permission to have 1 week off to recover from these operations before we were then going on holiday the week after. And I'm laying on the sofa, having watched an entire day of back-to-back chat shows. Now, again, I don't know if you do this, but it's not chat shows for me anymore. But there are still some programs, and some of it is still like reality TV stuff. It is literally like it genuinely is mind-numbing TV, absolute mind-numbing TV that you can just watch. Like it's really just noise in the background. But it also gives you that feeling of, oh, at least my life's not that bad. Right. Do you have that stuff? Right. Whether it is some of the reality programs or kind of whatever. But I used that was the thing for me with the chat show. I thought, God, at least my life's not that bad. Right. I can't move. I'm just recovering. But this is what I need to do. But at least my life's not that bad. Right. I've got the job, I've got the money, I've got this, I've got two amazing kids. I was married at the time, got the husband, got life, right? Got an amazing family, amazing parents, amazing friends, all of this stuff. Like life is good. Life's not that bad. My life doesn't look anything like it does for some of these people on some of these chat shows. My sons came home from school after this entire day of back-to-back daytime TV, and I must have just looked awful because they kind of came, running into the living room. I'd been laying on the sofa all day, and they came running, bombing it into the living room. And their faces just kind of dropped. And like my response to them was, don't worry, mum's gonna be back at school. Mum's gonna be back at work soon. Everything's gonna be fine. And my sons came and sat on the coffee table in front of the sofa, and they took one look at each other. And then one of them said to me, but mum, we don't want you to go back to work, because your job is killing you. And when your 12-year-old sons say that to you, I had had a really, really painful, hard 7 months. Probably the worst 7 months of my life in terms of pain and not being able to function and literally just trying to get through the day. But all I was really focused on was work. And it was that day that I, like, what the hell am I doing? It was that day that I realized, like, my sons could obviously see something that I wasn't, but the fact that my response to them was, don't worry, mum's going to be back at work soon. Like, how many of us use work as a, I don't know, a thermometer, as a scale to say how well we are or not? Oh, I can't be that ill because I can still get into work. I don't want to take this episode all into like COVID territory. But like, how many of us were doing COVID tests around the time of COVID? Even like, as awful as we might have felt, it's like, well, it's not COVID, so we're all right. We just carry on. And then if it was like the test says it is, oh, it's COVID. I can't move. It's COVID. But it was like we needed that little line on the test, didn't we? Almost to determine whether we were really that ill. Right, if the test gave us a line that was like, yeah, it's definitely, it was almost like permission to then be ill. But even if we felt awful, if the test came back to say not COVID, well, oh, just got carrot lights. No, thank goodness it's not COVID. We just carry on, right? We just carry on as normal. How many of us still do that? My body had literally been shutting down for 7 months. I carried on going. I've had two operations in 48 hours. I'm laying on the sofa having watched mind-numbing TV. My sons walk into the living room. I can clearly see how worried they feel. And I'm going to be back at work soon. Everything's going to be okay. Don't worry. And we don't want you back at work, mum. Your job's killing you. Now I know why now that I didn't stop. I know why I couldn't stop. I know why stopping wasn't an option. Again, on my YouTube channel, there is a video, Burnout and the Brain, that talks about why I couldn't stop. I know why I couldn't stop. I understand now the neuroscience behind why I couldn't stop. Again, this is stuff that I'm cover in the Burnout Academy for the Burnout Aware coaches, for the Train the Trainers, for the Master Burnout coaches. If you've done a workshop with me, you'll know that I talk about the kind of neuroscience, Burnout 101, Neuroscience 101, the neuroscience behind why we can't stop. Right. I understand that now, but I couldn't understand that back in 2013. Had absolutely no idea. And again, my sons were saying it to me, like logically, I'm like, okay, yeah, this is what's happening. But I still couldn't kind of join the dots because all I could think about was, well, I'm going to be back at work soon. Now, we had an amazing holiday the week after. I remember we'd gone on this all-inclusive to Greece, and like it was one of the best holidays we had because I didn't do any work. That was the first holiday, literally the first holiday in 10 years that I hadn't worked whilst I've been on holiday. I didn't think about work. I had a holiday. I read by the pool. The boys were off playing in the pool. My husband was either laying with me, sunbathing, or we were in the pool as a family together, or my sons were off doing some of the kids' club stuff, some of the sporting activities. But I had a holiday. And so even this, right, this high functioning, how many of us have a day off and we're still working? How many of us are still working at the weekend? How many of us are on holiday, but I just need to check my emails? Or how many of us are on holiday and just dialing in for a Zoom call? How many of us are on holiday and just doing that check-in call? How many of us are on holiday and still just reading that board paper? Right, we think we kind of we just think with this, we are this kind of high functioning. Now, for me, as I was coming out of the other side of that burnout, I couldn't even pick up a glass of water. A glass of water became too heavy. This was really like my body, like enough, right? Will you just stop? And yet I didn't really, and you might kind of disagree with this, right? But I didn't get the crash. Right. Again, this kind of burnout vibe, right? She doesn't crash, she slowly disappears. And if you are applauding her drive, you're missing the collapse. But it's not like a big collapse. It's just this disappearance. And that's what was happening. Every single day, I was just fading more and more into the background. I was fading underneath all of the stuff to do. I was fading underneath the busyness. I was falling underneath the reactiveness of everything. Just kept going and going and going. Yeah, I was withdrawing. Remember, I say two of the biggest telltale signs were on the brink of burnout, right? The first is being literally addicted to work. It doesn't feel safe for us to not work. And the second, this withdrawal from life. And that's what I was doing. I can't get my teeth in again. But I was withdrawing from my friendships, from my family, from my relationships. I was withdrawing from myself. Or like almost right, total dissociation. As long as I looked okay, as long as I could get up in the morning and put the suit on and make sure that everything was pristine, not one hair out of place, everything looked amazing, makeup was perfect, outfit was perfect, everything looked spot on. As long as I left the house at the same time every day and I did the same drive every day and got on the same train every morning and made it to the office and made it through the course of the day, and then did exactly the same thing in reverse. I'd leave the office, I'd get the tube, I'd get back on the station, I'd get on the same train, I'd get home, I'd go through the motions of what being present at home looked like. And I wasn't present physically. I was there on the days that I was there, on the days that I hadn't worked late, on the days that I hadn't literally needed to go for a drink after work just to try and decompress, to switch off, to recharge, right? On the days that I was home to see my sons before bed, I wasn't present. I was physically there, but I wasn't mentally present. I was numb. I was completely dissociated. This was just life. This is what it looked like. And yet everybody, I was winning awards left, right, and centre. I was getting all the accolades, right? The fact that my salary just kept being increased and increased without me even asking, right? It's like, oh, I've been rewarded again. Here we go. Here we go. Here we go. I was being offered even more promotions. I was being offered more work and more projects. I was being offered more coaches, more projects, more money, right? Everything. And it's like, okay, yeah, fine. And just kept going through the motions and going through the motions and going through the motions. This is success, right? This is the price that all of us pay. So that's Burnout Barbie. That is the first of our 200 truths that we're going to be talking about. As I said, if you want to get your hands on the Burnout Aware Starter Kit, head to kellyswinkler.com on my homepage. You'll find the button that says Download Your Burnout Awareness Starter Kit. If you Love the podcast, and you want your podcast companion, head to kellyswingler.com/podcast and you can get your show notes. Note down your aha moments, your reflections, your questions, your challenges, anything that you want to share for today. I'm going to say we're going to leave it there. So I can now tell you with confidence what we'll be covering in next week's episode. Because sometimes I'm like, yeah, I'm not really sure what we're going to be talking about. Sometimes I know, but not very often. So next week, in next week's episode, we are going to be talking about resilience porn. So what? We're going to be talking about resilience porn, the glorification of pushing through pain, hustling through trauma, and smiling through burnout. That's what we're going to be talking about next week. I'm going to say thanks very much for joining me. It finally feels like I know what I'm doing now with this podcast and everything that is going to be happening. Video quality for those of you watching is not that great. I don't know what's happening with my light in here. So we'll get that sorted. For those of you listening, I hope the sound has been better for you this week. Although you all said the sound was brilliant last week, but again, I'm just conscious. I'm testing out some new stuff again now that we're doing this in, I'm going to say my home studio. It's not a studio at all. Like that's highly, highly, highly exaggerated. This is my little podcast corner that I'm quite liking. But yeah, I'm testing out a few little bits in here. So hopefully sound and lighting we can definitely do better with for those of you on YouTube. I'll try and do something with that. For those of you listening, hopefully sound quality has been everything you needed. But that's been it. This is the first of our 200 truths. This has been Burnout Barbie. So if you want the Burnout Companion, get that from the podcast page, Burnout Aware Kit. Go to the website and get that from there. If you've got questions, I mean, let me know, right? If would it be helpful? Because I was thinking, if we do a live, what would a weekly live look like? And maybe Burnoutology could become a bit more of a live Q&A, right? If there's been something in a particular topic, if there's been a particular truth that you would like to explore a bit more, or you've got questions about, maybe we could do that as the weekly live. So, but let me know if that's something that you'd want to get involved in, if that's something that you would want to do. I don't just want to start creating stuff for the sake of creating stuff. But for today, I'm going to say thanks very much for listening and or watching. It's been a real pleasure. As I said, it feels like now we know what we're doing, or I know what I'm doing in terms of the podcast. And you can join along with the podcast companion. You can say, okay, in 5 weeks' time, we're going to be doing this when I've got some questions in advance that I want answering. Maybe let me have them in advance and I'll see if I can answer them for you in the podcast. Maybe that's how we do it. But that's it for today. I'm going to say thank you, thank you, thank you for joining me. I will be back again with Burnoutology, the podcast, next week, where we will be talking about resilience porn. See you next week. Take care for now, everybody. Bye, bye, bye.